The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Chiefs Kingdom. Welcome in to the latest episode of the AP Draft Room podcast on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. Appreciate you joining us today, probably on a Friday morning when this usually drops. I am the lead analyst at arrowheadpride.com, Ron Kopp Jr. Joining you as always, I'm the main host here. But I'm bringing back a good friend of mine because, you know, it's we're about a month away from the draft now, and we got to really start digging, really got to start getting opinions out, getting takes out on all these guys, all these names that are in the draft class. I got Nate Christensen with me, a great film analyst for us at the site. Nate, I know you are, you know, I want to say knee, hip, you know, shoulder deep in this class. I know you've really been into it. How are you feeling? I don't know. I'm ready to talk draft more. I'm tired of free agency talk. I'm tired of all that. How do you feel about it?
Yeah. And I said this the other day in the AP film room, I'm finally feeling a little bit caught up. I feel like I'm in a position where, like, I'm looking kind of at my list. I'm like, you know, this is only about a few weeks left, and then kind of through everyone on my list, and I try and get around 150 names. That's kind of like the goal every year, is to get, so that's around like the top 100 and maybe like 30-40 day three guys, and I think I'm gonna get there honestly pretty easily at the pace I'm going at right now. Most of my positions I'm down to like 5 or 6 guys left at the very most, so it's good to finally get caught up. I don't feel like I'm scrambling as much this year, and that's something that feels good.
Yes, no, that does feel good. I'm still in scramble mode, so I'm not joining you quite there, but I'm definitely still in a little bit of scramble mode. But that's exactly why I brought you on the podcast today, because we're just going to be talking prospects, man. Let's just get names out. Let's just get, you know, opinions out on guys. You know, we're going to be going through the Athletics consensus board. You know, they compile, you know, a lot of expert draft rankings and kind of, you know, into one big consensus ranking. We'll see kind of where we agree, disagree on that. We're also going to look at maybe some of the best and worst fits in this draft class at certain positions for the Chiefs specifically. You know, we talk about some of these exciting names, but do they actually fit, you know, with the Chiefs? We're going to talk about that. Prospect of the week as always, and then we're gonna actually have some fun superlatives at the end, kind of, you know, talk a little more about the overall draft. So I'm excited, man. Glad you're joining me. And so yeah, let's just kick it off there with the Athletics consensus board, because again, I kind of mentioned it, it's a compiled list of expert rankings, and so and they make it into a top 100 and pile it all up, and this was updated March 14th, but man, I don't know, there are some interesting placements for some players. Some surprising names in certain places. So I just kind of wanted to get some of the highlights. Well, let me ask you first. Let you go first with any of the kind of, let's start with the guys that you were maybe higher on than consensus, maybe guys that you were like, man, that is way lower than I have them on my board. Are there any guys that stick out to you with that?
So some guys I'm higher on than I had on the board. The first one I had was DJ Turner, the cornerback from Michigan. He's ranked 91st on this big board here. I think DJ Turner is really good. I know he's a little bit undersized for a corner, but he ran like a 4.33 at the NFL draft, and that really shows up on film. I thought he honestly played Quentin Johnston, the receiver from TCU, better than anyone I've seen. He can play in the slot. Michigan would put him in the slot, and he handled those, handled the slot well. I honestly think he could play safety in the NFL, which, given some of the quality of this safety class, I think might be something teams explore, because he's a good tackler. He has a lot of range. That was the first name I ran down. And then one above him, Zach Pickens, the defensive tackle from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't get why people aren't talking about him. He's really intriguing. He tested well at the combine. He dropped a lot of weight, which maybe that's something I don't know why he did, but he's just like 305, 310 pound defensive tackle, but he is strong. He can rush the passer too. He has, you know, nimbility. He has some power, but he can like legitimately two gap, and South Carolina had him do that. And I think he's a guy that can step in the NFL and instantly play defensive tackle. And my last guy, I'm not going to talk about him too much. We talked about him on the AP film room, Christopher Smith, the safety from Georgia.
Yes.
This consensus big board had him as the 6th-ranked safety. I just think that's crazy. I really do. I know he didn't test amazing, but with some of the other, like they had Antonio Johnson, which I know that's someone we'll talk about a little bit later. They had both Alabama guys. They had Sidney Brown above him. Christopher Smith is I think he's the smartest safety in this class. I think he has I think he's honestly maybe the best tackler of all the safeties in this class. I have him as my own safety one. So that those three guys to me were like, when I was looking up and down the list of like the guys that really stood out, I was like, I must just be higher than like the majority of people.
Well, hey, I'm with you on the last one, but I want to go back to Zach Pickens because I'm glad you brought him up because I kind of wanted to lump him and Keanu Benton together as guys that they're just both super low. And I really don't quite understand when, especially when a guy like Siaka Ika is like 60 or 50 or something, or let me make sure I got that right. But he was like 52 on the board. I just feel like you're right. I think Pickens and Keanu Benton, again, one of my guys, I love Benton, the Wisconsin defensive tackle, but I get why Pickens is in that similar kind of range, maybe as a prospect. I do think Benton has the higher ceiling, but you're right. Pickens is thick and he is not easy to move, but he can, he can also move himself pretty well, honestly, off the snap. Yeah. I'm surprised too, that both of those guys kind of get pushed down the board a little bit, especially again, you know, I just feel like a guy like, you know, Ika, you know, Gervon Dexter Sr. Was someone that was, you know, pretty high on the board. And I would just way rather have Pickens or Benton. So I'm glad you brought him up. So yeah, Benton was my number one. I mean, 94 out of 100. That's just crazy to me.
Crazy.
I think he's a top 30 player to me. I think he's definitely worth a first round pick in my opinion. I do like him over Pickens, I will say. I would pick Benton over Pickens, but you know, I do see that, especially an SEC player in Pickens. Some other guys, though, you know, I'll shout out my guy Parker Washington, the Penn State receiver. He was 99. I just feel like I'd take him over the, you know, a good amount of the, maybe a handful of the receivers that are above him on the consensus. I just, you know, I know he's a little bit of a smaller prospect, but I feel like he doesn't play as small as he does. And he kind of has, you know, he's a slot guy, but I feel like he does have some of that Z ability where he could maybe, you know, play outside as well. And so I'm a little, you know, I was a little shocked to see him so low, but you know, this receiver class, you know, it kind of does pile up at the top. You know, I'm gonna stand my ground with a guy like Kayshon Boutte. I know he had a really bad combine, but I just feel like he is gonna be a solid player. You know, Jarvis Landry is kind of an easy comp because he's LSU. They're not the same kind of player, but just a guy that maybe didn't have the greatest combine, but could still maybe produce at some extent in the NFL. I know Jarvis Landry wasn't this Pro Bowl Hall of Fame guy, obviously, right. But you know, he had some good years as a possession receiver, as a guy that you could depend on to make, you know, to get 100 catches in a year. I feel like Boutte can still do that, be a solid, you know, a solid contributor for an offense. So him and Cedric Tillman, you know, the other, and I just named a bunch of receivers, but I do think all those three of those guys, I would kind of push higher on my board. Mm-hmm. Tillman, I get, you know, the 2022 tape isn't, you know, fantastic, but I really feel like 2021, you know, he proved he could be a legitimate player. You know, he was supposed to be a first round pick. And I've talked about him on the podcast before. So, yeah, those are some of my guys. You know, any takes on those or any surprises? You know, let's just, if there are any surprises you have on this, you can throw them out. I mean, there's a few that you know, Keon White, Georgia Tech was at 71. I think he needs to be a little higher.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You got anybody else?
Well, I guess we could transition to guys that we were kind of lower on the consensus. The first name I had written down was DeJuan Jones. I believe if I have right here, okay. He was the 34th ranked offensive tackle. The more I thought about DeJuan Jones, the less I like him. And I know like the film in college is impressive, but he's so big. Like he's a legitimate, like 375 pounds. That type of player just has never really survived in the NFL. I've heard from people online that like he has potential medical problems potentially. And it's just really hard to play that big at that weight. Like it's just hard to move, and he doesn't really change direction super well. I think he's really scheme specific. And even then, honestly, I don't think he was that great of a run blocker in college. The obvious comparison is Orlando Brown. I think Orlando Brown was a much better run blocker than DeJuan Jones ever was.
Go ahead. I just want to jump in real quick because I think it is funny. I think we all, you see a big guy and you see he has some impressive footwork, right? And you're kind of like, oh, he's the best of both worlds. He can be a big run blocking dude and also kind of maybe have some of the quick feet, because he does have some pretty quick feet for his size. But if you have quick feet for your size, but you're not a strong run blocker at that size, then it's almost like a double negative almost. That footwork, I don't know if it's going to translate completely to the NFL, but he's someone that I'm not super low on or anything. So I'm surprised to hear that, honestly. Go ahead, keep going.
I know you and I are going to agree on this. Isaiah Foskey at 27. I don't get it.
Right.
I watched him again last weekend. I don't understand the hype. I know he's a good run defender, but he, for a guy that's like supposedly powerful, he looks like he has short arms and he can't generate a lot of power. And he's definitely not a guy who can really bend the corner. He's rather stiff. I know even people I like really respect online have really good opinions on him. And I don't get it. Like I tried to rewatch him again. I don't understand how you would have him above guys like Will McDonald, guys above like BJ Ojulari, Felix Anduki Uzama. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but top 25, that's a first round pick. Like, I don't understand that at all.
I'm totally with you. That's one of the more shocking ones. And this is one of those where, hey, it was updated March 14th. I mean, like, you would hope maybe as we get closer, like that would go, he would go down that list. But man, he's always been someone that people like to talk about. He was a projected first round pick going into 2022. But yeah, you're right. I mean, for a guy that's supposed to be like, he was kind of playing that overhang, that, you know, kind of stand up a lot of times, rusher. I mean, he wasn't coming off and getting any sort of, you know, edge pressure a lot of times. I mean, he's getting washed out a lot of times. He doesn't have any counter moves, really. I mean, he's really a very solid player, but nothing more than that. So yeah, I'm totally with you on that. He may not even be in the top 100 for me when it all comes down to it. I mean,
mine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Who else you got? Anyone else you're lower than the board?
I have just two names real quick. Brian Branch, the safety out of Alabama, or I guess more of the slot out of Alabama. Not a bad player by any means, but I don't see him being a top 20 player. The dude's never played safety before. He's going to have to be a slot in the NFL. He really didn't test like great. He tested adequately for a slot defender in the NFL, like 4.6. I don't think he jumped super great either. The tape's fine. He can execute like what you need on defense, but I don't think he's like a linchpin of a defense. And if you're taking a guy top 20, like you're on the consensus big board, I want him to be able to be a linchpin of your scheme. So I didn't get that. And then the last one, I know you and I disagree about this, but Kalijah Kancey at 37. he's so scheme specific. Like I understand he has really good athleticism and the tape of him rushing the passer is good. I'm sorry. Aaron Donald's one of the only guys to ever work who's 6 foot, 280 pounds. And Aaron Donald's like the strongest human being I've ever seen. Like Kalijah Kancey just isn't that. So I think Kansey's going to have to try and be an edge, and maybe he'll do it. I think he could convert there, but we haven't seen it yet. And if you're asking him to play defensive tackle, unless he's getting into the backfield for TFLs, what's his plan? He has short arms. He's like 6 foot, 275. Like, that's just not, you can't play defensive tackle in the NFL that way. So I know he can rush the passer and I know he can be an impactful player on third downs, but I just don't think he can be a three down defensive tackle. And if I'm drafting a guy 37th overall, I need him to at least be able to play on first down.
Yeah. No, hey, that's totally fair. And the Aaron Donald stuff is just, I wish he didn't go to Pitt just so people would stop doing that, because they aren't the same type of player. I mean, you just kind of hit on it. Just because he's explosive doesn't mean he can do all the same things Aaron Donald can. No, I'm with you, man. He is going to be someone that you get into the league and, you know, you're not going to be able to play on first and second down for the most part. You know, pass downs, obviously he's going to be able to contribute, but again, you just mentioned it, top 37, you know, if you're only contributing on pass, like Tershawn Wharton was only contributing on pass downs and you got him in as an undrafted free agent, but man, I don't know. And maybe it's just that Tennessee game, because he really did disrupt that Tennessee offensive line. And there's a few plays where he is just blowing up a guy and bull rushing him, right? That's not, you can't expect him to do that in the NFL, you know, consistently or anything. But man, it's just one of those things where I'm just going to bet on that and just see what happens, right? Like, yeah, you know, maybe for, I wouldn't say, yeah, I'd say first round is rich. I would not maybe take him in the first round. It does seem like he's going to go pretty high. Like, this is actually lower than you see a lot of these mock drafts. He's like 18, 20 now. And it's just the traits, right? Because he has a good athlete. It's just kind of like our guy Adebare at Northwestern. I mean, there is similar things to that, but Adebare has some size to him and actually has some build to him. Right, yeah, and he's long too. That's the other thing with Kancey is he's short. So I don't, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you at some points, but I would take him probably higher than you would. I would probably take him closer. You know, honestly, top of day two isn't crazy to me, but I do understand your points. So I'm looking at surprises. I was looking at some of the guys or just kind of some of the things like how they stacked up on the board that I was kind of confused about. You know, I like Will McDonald the fourth, but I would rank Felix and Udike Uzomah over him. And the consensus board does have McDonald over him. I thought that was kind of surprising. I don't know how you feel about this. I know you were looking at corners not that long ago. Joey Porter Jr. being the top.
I had that
corner
written down.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? Because I was kind of surprised by that.
Well, of the nine corners I've watched, he's like corner five or six for me. I know he's like really, really long, and I know like the background, obviously, his dad was a football player, but he's kind of stiff. Like I think he's a little too stiff to really play man coverage in the NFL. To me, he's like a cover two corner, like a guy you want with his ball skills and his IQ underneath. Over Christian Gonzalez, though, like, I'm sorry, Christian Gonzalez is really, really good. Like, Christian Gonzalez can execute any scheme the day he goes into the NFL and cover anyone. I think Joey Porter is a little more scheme specific, and he didn't test that great either, Joey Porter Jr. So that was surprising me. I had that written down too. I was very surprised. That was like one of the first things I noticed when I was going through the board.
It really must just be the name and you know, he is a good player. It's not the
He is a good player.
Not, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is, I liked what I saw from Cam Smith. I was watching him recently because the Chiefs brought him in. I think he's a really nice cover corner. You know, I didn't watch Joey Porter Jr., so I'm not sure exactly how I'd compare him to him. Do you like Cam Smith? How did you feel about him?
I haven't watched him.
Yeah, there's very limited tape. Mm-hmm. The only 2022 tape is him against a backup quarterback, which drives me crazy. But yeah, I mean, Devon Witherspoon, I mean, I feel like he just has enough of the flashes where it just seems like he's going to be a stud kind of player. Yeah, you know, I found that surprising too. Another one to me was that I found surprising, and they're not the same position necessarily, but Derek Hall to be at 53. Some of the guys above him to me are just, you know, Siaki Ika, Gervon Dexter, Mozzie Smith are all right above him, kind of in that same tier, but it's just surprising to me. I just figured Derek Hall would be kind of a higher thought of player with his kind of the way his physical profile is. I feel like he had good production. I might have to check again how good of production he had in college. But, I mean, I really like him. I think he's someone that I wouldn't mind at the bottom of the first round. I don't know. And just for him to be behind all these kind of D tackles that, you know, Mozzie Smith, Siaki Ika, you know, they could be one-dimensional in the league as we're looking at it now. They could develop, obviously. I'm just not a big Dexter guy. We'll talk about that. But I don't know. Is there anyone else? Is there any other surprises you had besides those?
Not really. The only thing I also had written down was Quentin Johnston, top 10. I think that's a little bit lofty for me. Mm-hmm. But besides that, like most, like the top 30 makes sense. But yeah, that one was a little surprising for me. I like Quentin Johnston, but top 10 seems lofty.
I'm with you. We'll actually talk about him a little later. Actually, mm-hmm. We could get into it right now. Yeah, we're going to be talking best worst fits, kind of. And, you know, I guess I'll lead it off because we went into it. If the Chiefs were to somehow, you know, get Quentin Johnston or he was to fall in his range, I would actually think he'd be, one of the worst fits of the receiver group for the Chiefs. And that's not to say he's a bad player. He is going to be one dimensional. He is going to be an X receiver, you know, strictly, right? And that's not a bad thing. But in the Chiefs offense, I think we all know by now. And it's why, you know, maybe there's not really a great person to say best fit for the receiver position because they are very versatile. They just need guys that can do a bunch of different things. I just feel like Quentin Johnston, another guy I would say, you know, Rocky's going to get mad at me, but A.T. Perry, I don't think either of them are very good fits. You know, I just think they're pretty prototypical X receivers. I know Perry, you know, I think Rocky would argue he could do a little more, but I mean, I'm seeing a pretty prototypical X. So those kind of guys, I would say, were maybe some of the some of the guys that I would not think would fit very well, but the rest of the receiver class probably fits very well. Is there anyone that really fits to you that's a really strong fit that you're like, okay, I, you know, it's him over anybody? I have one guy in mind.
The one real fit I saw was Barvin Mims, the wide receiver from Oklahoma, because when I watched him on film, he reminded me exactly of Mecole Hardman. I think Mims is a better prospect, but if the Chiefs like Mecole Hardman, they're going to love Marvin Mims because they're very similar players. Kind of this linear vertical speed guy. Mims is a good blocker. He's actually quite good as a blocker, but in terms of a guy who can stretch the seams, as a guy who can just kind of run down the field, that to me makes sense. I kind of wrote about this yesterday when I wrote about Trey Palmer. I think the Chiefs could look to add that type of player back to the offense. Mm-hmm. And like Marvin Mims and Trey Palmer both fit that. So those are the names I had down.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense. I, you know, I kind of went with the blue chip here. I mean, I do think Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if he was able to fit in, I mean, I just feel like I like his size and his ability to kind of play different positions. I think the team needs some size. I don't think it's, you know, I talk about it with Quentin Johnson, A.T. Perry, like, you know, you don't want like a, you know, just an X receiver only type, but I do think there was something with Juju Smith-Schuster having that kind of, you know, being able to catch over the middle, you know, between tight windows, you know, maybe break some tackles after the catch. I do think there's something to that. And, you know, obviously it's a pipe dream. I don't think Jaxon Smith-Njigba was going to be in Kansas City, but if there is one, you know, ultimate fit, but Marvin Mims is a good one. I like that. What about edge rushers? I'm looking at, you know, some of the best fits in my opinion are just, you know, some of the prototypical guys like a Derek Hall, Lucas Van Ness, obviously just because of the size, and Felix Anudike Uzama to me as well. Are there any worse fits that you just really like scream to you? Like just, you know, it's not going to work in Kansas City, or just maybe you don't feel, you know, you would make the pick maybe to get him in Kansas City, but maybe, you know, it wouldn't fit in actually what they want to do.
I wrote down two names. I'll talk about one more than the other. Will McDonald, the fourth, the defensive end from Iowa State. He's just too skinny to play for the Chiefs. Yep. He's 239 pounds. I think he weighed in at his pro day around 245. I like the player, but he's just too skinny to play for the Chiefs. The other name I'd written down, just a day three guy, Lonnie Phelps, the defensive end for Kansas. Short, not a lot of weight. Just like that's just something I know Kansas fans have asked about Lonnie Phelps. I just don't think he's a fit with the Chiefs because of the size issues.
Yeah, no, that's another one I had in mind. I had Nick Herbig down too, the Wisconsin edge rusher. I mean, you know, he's just that tweener type. We've talked about it before. We love our Zach Bonds, but you know, we got to be realistic. You know, with the Chiefs, who they want. You know, someone that I kind of wrote down, but I've been back and forth on is Jose Ramirez, the Eastern Michigan guy, because he does play with some pretty good play strength. He just has a small frame, but he has some pass rush juice, man, and it's something that like I'd like to see maybe in Kansas City, just as, you know, as a day three kind of pick. I think he's going to be day three. He could sneak into round three possibly, but he is like 6'2", I think, like 240 or something, and kind of a shorter, stout body, kind of that Mike Dana type of body, and I just don't know how much they're going after that, and so he's just someone that I threw in there, but you know, I do like him, so it's not to say he's not a good player. What about interior defensive linemen? I think some of my I think Keanu Benton, Mozzie Smith are just guys that, you know, in terms of coming in right away and starting, it makes sense. They're A-gap players. There's other guys that are like that too. We talked about Zach Pickens, Siaki Ika. But are there any ones that just are just not good fits for coming in at all?
So I actually want to talk about someone I think is a really good fit. And I think this is going to surprise you, but I watched him a little bit more and I see it. I like Irvin Dexter. I know I didn't like him at first, but after his testing, I was like, okay, like I missed something. And the dude's just, I think that there's some similarities to what the Chiefs like in the past. SEC profile, height, weight, speed. He is really, really strong. I underestimated how strong he is. He's a guy that I think can play both one tech and three technique, and he tested really well at the combine. And I don't know, like I the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, like clearly I was too low on him at first. I watched him a little bit more. I heard some different opinions about him. Just given kind of like the profile and the notoriety, he was a 5-star recruit coming out. I could see the Chiefs really being interested in Irvin Dexter. And the more I thought about it, I think I'd be okay with that. I think he's a good player.
Hey, no, that's the one thing is the physical tools are there. I think you can see that. I just I feel like when I watched him, there was just, he just left a lot to be desired, and he just was an unexciting, a lot of prospect. But you're right, in terms of how, you know, how he'd fit in or how the Chiefs would want him to play. I did think, you know, maybe he'd be better as like a two gapper kind of guy, just because he is so strong and powerful. And it just seems like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like he was a little undisciplined, and it just stood out to me. Yeah. And there were some effort issues, I want to say, too.
I mean, agree.
No, maybe right. And maybe that's something where you get him in the right place and, you know, you fix some of those technique or discipline issues, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're getting the athletic traits to the ceiling. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Cause yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't say he's a bad fit at all. I just am not a huge fan of his as a prospect. But guys that I did put down Brian Brzee. I think that's just kind of, I just don't, you know, that's one where maybe I'm just not a huge fan of him, but I do think, I just don't know where he'd fit with the Chiefs. He's definitely not an A-gap. He's definitely not a three tech. Well, he might have to be a three tech, but I don't see him doing that. He is kind of a more of a penetrator, I guess, than like a true two gapper, but I just don't know if he's going to be penetrating enough to warrant where he's going to be picked in the draft. And again, I just don't think in the Chiefs defense, I don't think they'd like filling him in.
I have one quick defensive tackle that I don't think fits super well. Adebore, the kid from Northwestern. I just don't think he's a defensive tackle. Like I watched him again yesterday, and I was like telling you guys this. I just don't know what he is, because I don't think he's bendy enough to be an edge, unless he drops a bunch of weight, which, you know, maybe he can, but I don't know. And like, he is long for a defensive tackle, but he's still like 6 foot. He doesn't have a lot of, you know, weight to him. I'm not sure he's going to be a disruptive interior pass rusher like everyone thinks he is. I don't love the fit on. I've seen a lot of mocks with him going to the Chiefs now, and I just don't know how you get him and Chris Jones on the field together. I don't know. To me, Adebore fits more of like a New England defensive line where they're like a little more exotic. Like, I think you have to have like a very specific role for him. Like, honestly, the Chargers with like Brandon Staley would be make a ton of sense for him. But considering the Chiefs are pretty rigid with what they do up front, I don't know where you stick Adebore. So I know Kansas City kid. I know he tested great. I like some of the traits, but I don't know where he would fit with the Chiefs. I would be interested to see what like Steve Spagnuolo's plan would be for him.
Don't you think he'd just try to fit him or throw him out on the edge or the?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think so too. And that's just when you're moving someone, you know, to a different position, or just, you know, that's just not worth, you know, a certain value of pick. And he's going to be going in the first round. So that's where it seems like it, at least. I don't know. Maybe he won't. Maybe it's all draft type. I want to get your take on this last defensive tackle though. Cause I put Dante Stills. He was someone I watched, and wrote up. I think you liked him, quite a bit. I just don't know if he would fit as a defensive tackle with the Chiefs. I do think he would have to maybe be a defensive end in that similar mold. And, you know, hey, as a day three pick, I don't mind it at all. Cause he does know what he's doing. He has, you know, he's experienced. He racked up a lot of stats in college because, you know, he's a disruptor. He's all over the line. But he's not the most explosive guy. And so as a defensive tackle, I don't know if I'd see him fitting in as a three tech or whatnot. Do you disagree with that at all?
No, I agree for the most part. I think it's, you know, we probably can transition now to offensive tackle. I think the best name we had, or I had down, Jalen Duncan, just makes so much sense. I think he's an Andy Reid tackle. The quickness, he's played both right and left. It seems like his stock's fallen, which I find a little bit surprising. I don't know why. Did he test? I don't think he tested at the combine, or he at least he didn't test poorly. I don't remember him testing. There's a lot of work you still have to do with him, but I would feel pretty confident with him and with Andy Heck and the Chiefs, because he, of all the tackles in this class, he has the quickest feet. Well, maybe not Darnell Wright. I probably would put above him.
Yeah, that's probably
but
true.
He at least has an argument, and I really like him. I watched him again last weekend. I was like, I think he's good. He has work to do, but he would be a guy at the end of round one. I would totally understand why the Chiefs took him.
He's definitely like the most exciting offensive tackle prospect outside of like the round one, hub. Cause I agree with you. I think he's definitely someone you get into the right coaching staff, the right offensive line, you know, coaching staff, you know, if it's like the Eagles or the Chiefs, obviously. Yeah. I do think you can work on that. Yeah, you know, hey, he's probably going to be someone you have some lumps with if you do want to start him right away. I just think that's one thing that maybe when I was watching him, the Ohio State game towards the end, man, he really started to just give it up, and it was a really bad look. But again, you're right, man. The footwork is there. It's almost like he doesn't trust his footwork. It's almost like he's not getting deep enough in his pass set, and it's like he's almost too passive in his pass set. He needs to be kind of more aggressive on just getting out there or getting back there and kind of deep setting. Just because it seems like sometimes he does get beat around the edge, and it's like, how do you get beat around the edge when you can move as well as, you know, any offensive tackle pretty much in this class? So yeah, I like that. Is there any bad fits for you?
Blake Freeland, the offensive tackle from BYU. Enough. Stop. I don't want to. If your first line for why Blake Freeland would become a Chief is that Andy Reid went to BYU, that's ridiculous. He's old. He's way worse than Brady Christensen was when he came out as offensive tackle. I know he tested great RAS, but he's like 300 pounds at 6'8". That's really small. Like, he should test very well for a guy that small. Turn on the film. He doesn't move that well. He can't open his hips. I'm tired of hearing this. I know I understand why people say this, but also, like, how many Andy Reid BYU players have there been? Like Dan Sorensen, Zane Anderson? Like, those guys were UDFAs.
It is definitely overblown.
I'm tired of hearing about this. And if I'm sorry, I don't like seeing mocks with Blake Freeland going like 63 to the Chiefs. He's not an offensive tackle. Like, he's not an NFL player. I'm sorry.
I appreciate you coming on the pod and saying that. It needed to be said. So I like that. I have a few worse fits that aren't even because I don't like them as players, but like Matthew Bergeron, the Syracuse offensive tackle. I just think he's short-limbed and kind of just a little too stocky. I see some people say he's going to be a guard. I think he is going to be a tackle in the league, but I don't know if the Chiefs are the right place for him. I think he may need, you know, just somewhere where they're not as pass dependent, you know, not someone that's going to be on an island all that much. But I do like him. I think he has good 2021 tape. I don't think I've seen any 2022 tape, honestly, but I liked him so much in 2021. And then Cody Mauch, the North Dakota State dude. I do think he's going to be a player that develops into a, it seems like he's got the right, play style, I guess, as a right tackle, maybe in the league, in terms of, you know, he's that former tight end. He's got the movement skills, but we need some pass setters in Kansas City. So I would not necessarily want to see him be drafted to the Chiefs. You have any disagreements on those, or do you want to go ahead to go running backs?
Let's go into running backs, because I have mock for a superlative later. So I'm going to save it for then.
Nice. Well, running backs, I mean, I'll start real quick because some of my favorite guys in this draft, the more I think about it, are Tyjae Spears and Eric Gray and Kenny McIntosh. All three of those guys, I feel like, really do fit, you know, in terms of getting a pass down back in Kansas City, you know, with someone to compliment Isaiah Pacheco on the early downs, be that downhill runner. I think all these guys offer you, you know, a good ability in open space, you know, being able to make guys miss to an extent. I know you actually reviewed McIntosh for us on the AP film room, and obviously, you know, you were pointing out how good of a pass protector he is. I think that's obviously a huge part of being a good fit this draft class. So Tyjae Spears, the Tulane guy, I just think, I don't know. I really like him. I think he's I know he's got the ACLs, and I think that's going to really drive down his stock, but that, you know, could make him a better value. So any good fits for you, any bad fits?
I struggle with best fits because a lot of them fit. The two guys I've done for worst fits, and it's not that they're bad players, but Zach Charbonnet and Chris Rodriguez, just not the right scheme for the Chiefs. They don't really Charbonnet add a lot. I like them. I think they can be good players, but just not in Kansas City. I don't think they can really run out of shotgun. And I think that'd be a bit of a problem. I don't think they add a lot in the receiving game. They need to go to a place like Tennessee or like Baltimore, somewhere that's a little more under center where they can kind of just run downhill. I like the players, but yeah, I don't think they're cheese fits.
And I would say the same about a couple other guys. I said Izzy Abanaconda. I probably didn't say that right, but the Pitt running back, I think he's gaining a lot of steam. But in terms of being in Kansas City, I just think he's a very similar player to Isaiah Pacheco. And same with Dwayne McBride from UAB. He is a very fun player to watch. Tons of highlights, but literally no receiving ability, or I should say experience, in his college tape. He had like 5 career catches. just a very straight running back, handoff running back. So those kind of guys, hey, you know, watch them succeed somewhere else. They're not going to be, or you know, I hope they're not in Kansas City. Safeties. I know you got, you know, maybe a few good, you know, you've been looking at safeties recently. What do you got?
I won't talk much about this. If you want more information, go to the AP film room. Jartavius Martin was the one safety in this class that tested well. If you want more kind of thoughts and film on him, go to check that out. The other guy I had written down was Jair Brown, the safety from Penn State. I know he didn't test great, but he was someone that did a lot for Penn State's defense. They'd rotate him to single high. They'd rotate him down to the box. They'd blitz him a little bit. One hallmark for the Chiefs of safeties is versatility, and Jair Brown provides that. The worst fits I had were Ronnie Hickman, the safety from Ohio State. Not a bad player, very box specific. He can't do anything. Like, he's not going to play deep or anything like that. And the other guy I'd written down, Sidney Brown, we talked about on the AP film room too, but he's a very specific safety. I'm not sure he's really a deep safety in the NFL. And he's 5'9", like 210. I don't know if he can really hold up in the box. So his kind of role to me in the NFL will be like as a dime safety covering tight ends. And I think that's a little bit too specific for what the Chiefs want those safeties. When you're looking at safeties for the Chiefs, one thing I would say is like they need to have be able to do multiple things. They typically don't like guys who can just do one specific role because it kind of limits your calls on what you can do defensively. So to me, the two guys in this class that stick out as guys who can do a little bit of everything are Jarquavius Martin and Jair Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that makes sense to me. Tight ends. You know, we have a few guys that, you know, I think are just bad fits just because of who the Chiefs have on the roster. It's Travis Kelce. And so if you do draft a guy like Dalton Kincaid or Luke Musgrave or Will Mallory, the Miami tight end, I just think these are all guys that aren't going to give you much blocking ability and are going to be receiving, you know, receiver onlys. And hey, you have a Travis Kelce, you kind of need someone to compliment him. And you do have guys like, you know, Jody Fortes still on the roster that can do some of the lone receiving work as that second tight end. You know, we've seen him succeed. So I really don't want them to attack this tight end class with guys like that, in my opinion. I know Dalton Kincaid and Luke Musgrave are big names, but I have some good fits. Do you have any bad good fits for tight end?
The one tight end fit I had written down, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but Luke Schoonmaker from Michigan. I think that makes sense. The one worst one I had was Darnell Washington. I just don't think Andy Reid has use for – I don't want to say use. I don't think he's going to build his offense around a big wide tight end like Darnell Washington. I just don't think he would utilize what he does best, which is run blocking and ability down the seams. I know the Chiefs transitioned to more 12 personnel last year, but it's the Chiefs 12 and 13 personnel is different than what Darnell Washington would need to be in the NFL. So for me, like, I know he tested really well and he did drop a bunch of weight. So maybe he'll be able to add more as a receiver in the NFL, but I don't quite see where the Chiefs would find like the best use out of him.
Yeah. So I get that. Luke Schoonmaker was definitely one of my best fits. I definitely think he's someone that, even if, yeah, I think right away he comes in and can be your second tight end, but he also could develop and be your main tight end eventually. I think he's got that kind of ability. Last but not least, let's talk about corners. You know, corners is one of those where, you know, I do think the Chiefs have that fit that we all know, you know, over the years, Spags, you know, the longer, you know, being able to press, you know, maybe not have the speed, but, you know, they drafted Trent McDuffie last year, and that kind of changes maybe our thought process a little bit. So I don't know. Corners may be one of those that it's just, you know, eye of the beholder. But do you have any best worst fits?
So I have two names for best fits. I'm like, I know McDuffie was smaller, but McDuffie plays so much bigger than what he was. He's kind of an anomaly. So for best fits, I have Kaylee Ringo, the cornerback from Georgia. I think people are overthinking him. I know there's talks about him being stiff. He wasn't allowed to jam at Georgia. That's just not what they do. He had to try and, like, match wide receivers at the line of scrimmage. And I don't think he's stiff as much as I just think he's really, like, strong and, like, big. And he's a guy that has a ton of, like, build-up speed. To me, that's a guy who can jam. Like, I want him jamming receivers at the line of scrimmage, being able to turn and run with him. If I think once he does that in the NFL, he's going to look significantly better. So that's someone I think people are just overthinking. The other one I'd written down, Kansas State fans will like, Julius Brents, the cornerback from Kansas State, transfer from Iowa. Long has.
I didn't realize that. Okay, so you have experience with this guy. Okay.
Yeah, no, he was someone that started a little bit at Iowa, transferred to Kansas State. Obviously, very long, tested very well at the combine. Tape is pretty solid. I think he has a little more room to grow. But I do think that's someone that would fit the Chiefs' profile of what they drag from corners. As for my worst fits, as much as I love these two players, Emmanuel Forbes and DJ Turner, it's not the right fit for the Chiefs. They're just not big enough. Like I absolutely love Emmanuel Forbes, but the dude can't press. He's like 165 pounds. I just don't think this type of scheme is the best for him. So as much as it pains me to say, because I really do enjoy those two players, I don't think they'd fit what Kansas City is looking for.
I know. I was wondering if you would go there, if you were gonna, if you were gonna put your boy down there. But yeah, I had him down too. It's just, you know, you at some point you're 160 pounds. I mean, what do we do?
Right.
But hey, he, that's the thing. He could find the right system and he could be a good player. Cause you're right. There are some flashes there. I had Julius Brents down as my number one fit too. I you know, if the Chiefs didn't have, you know, a certain kind of depth at cornerback right now, which again, I think they could absolutely attack corner. So I'm not saying they're not, they wouldn't draft it, but if they kind of need a corner a little more, I feel like I would, I'd be riding the train so hard for Julius Brents. And I probably will be as we get closer to the draft. I haven't dug into the cornerback class as a whole too hard. So, but he's definitely one that I've seen and know he's going to be a good fit if he were to be in Kansas City. So Kaylee Ringo was also a good fit. I had him too. So yeah, those are the best worst fits for the Chiefs by certain positions. Hopefully you guys learned something about some of these prospects in the class, but let me throw it to break. We're going to do that, and then we'll come back with the prospect of the week. Back in here on the AP Draft Room podcast. Appreciate you listening. Hopefully you're learning a lot about the 2023 draft class as we talk you through a bunch of names. And right now, we're going to get into our favorite segment of the week, prospect of the week.
Hey, prospect.
We have other prospects.
Prospect of the week.
All right. We are talking about guys that we think we're going to project. We're kind of guessing that the Chiefs could be after them, that the Chiefs could potentially pick them in the draft. So maybe not guys that we necessarily are, you know, super pounding the table for, but maybe just guys we see the Chiefs being in on. We already talked about a few guys that maybe make sense for that. Who is your prospect of the week, Nate?
Defensive end Yaya Diaby from Louisville. I actually watched him tonight, and that's why I decided to pick him. Blew up the NFL combine, 6'3¼", 263 pounds, right around 34 inch arms. He ran a 4.5140 with a 1.56 10 yard split. Both of those are in like the 90th percentile or above. 37 inch vertical, 10 foot broad jump. Those are great athletic numbers. I watched his film because I hadn't really heard much about him before the combine. He's not much of a pass rusher. He doesn't really rush the passer yet. But if you're looking at a guy who's similar kind of profile to Joshua Kando when the Chiefs drafted him from Florida State, I think Diaby makes sense. Like I mentioned, not much of a pass rusher. The pass rush productivity is just not there. I don't think he could really rush the passer right now. But he is a really smart run defender, which I found like really intriguing. This is a guy, if you're taking Diaby, you're giving him to Joe Cullen and just saying, like, could this be a guy that, you know, 1 to 2 years down the line, could you take and develop? Very day three guy. Yaya Diaby is you're not taking him earlier in that, but it's a swing on athletic traits at the edge position on day three, which is something I always believe in. And just by watching his tape, I think he is a smart player. I just think he needs a better infrastructure around him. I think if you give him Joe Cullen as a defensive line coach, there is something there. I'll just say, I think he had better tape than Joshua Kando did coming out of Florida State. I think he's more polished. I don't think he's quite, I don't think the ceiling is as high Kando was when he was coming out, but I could see him being a rotational defensive end in the NFL. And if I'm taking rotational defensive ends in the NFL, I want them to have that size and that athletic profile. To me, I think he'd be a really good fit for Chiefs. Probably round five would be my range for him, but I watched him tonight and I can definitely see potential there. I do think there's things to grow around.
Hey, That's funny. He's on my short list. I need to get to him because, yeah, he's someone that, you know, he's one of the only edges and kind of that, you know, because he's a, you know, he's kind of in that, you know, that middle round range. It seems like projected wise, people like him, especially after the combine. But yeah, no, that's good to know. That's good to know. I'll have to keep that in mind. I have another edge, though, too. Another edge rusher. Maybe kind of in a similar vein, honestly. You know, maybe not. Maybe we'll see what you think about it, because I know you've watched both of these guys. Isaiah McGuire, the Missouri edge defender. So my Missouri fans are giving me a little credit here. 6'4", 268 at the combine, came in with 33 inch arms. So, you know, he's got, you know, good length. You know, I liked his explosive numbers, and that's kind of made me kind of go back and watch him after the combine. 36.5 inch vertical and a 10.2 broad jump. Those are pretty good numbers for a 6'4", 270 guy. And so when you turn on the tape, though, you're seeing a big dude, a big long dude. Obviously someone that, you know, comes off hard, you know, definitely comes off with, you know, looking to hurt you, looking to go through you. But yeah, you know, there's definitely some, you know, some stiffness there. There's definitely going to be some stuff where, you know, you're not super excited about, you know, him coming around the edge, You know, you're not going to see many counter moves, but at the same time, man, you know, he can get downhill. He can, you know, blow up an inside shoulder and blow up a pen, you know, and get some penetration. You know, I do think, you know, in terms of when he's chasing down someone, I don't think he's super slow or anything. So yeah, I think he makes sense for the Chiefs in terms of the size profile. He's definitely, in my opinion, a guy that should be going maybe, you know, round four, round five. You kind of mentioned with Diaby. I think that's probably, they should be probably in a similar range, I would say. Cause you know, I kind of assumed I would like Diaby more, so we'll see. So I guess I kind of want your take on it. Who do you like more out of those two?
It's funny. So in my fourth to fifth round range tier on like my big board, I have a few guys above him, but it's Isaiah McGuire, then Yaya Diaby. So I have them graded very similarly, but yeah, like you mentioned, it's the power, it's the buildup, that kind of explosiveness into a bull rush. Very much a Chief style defensive end. I liked him. I don't know. I don't think he's a guy that would get more than 3-4 sacks a season, but you know, on day three, you're never getting guys that can really rush the passer that great. So he's someone I think will make NFL rosters and they will be a productive player. So yeah, I don't see top 100. Like I've seen some mocks, but early day three, I think it would make sense.
Yeah. I think we had to take him in our round three, the last mock.
Yeah, that's a little bit high.
Yeah, a little bit. So we're living and we're learning, right? You know, so. Okay, so prospect of the week, couple edge rushers. Definitely makes sense, right? I think the Chiefs are going to absolutely add a defensive end, and it may not be first, second round. It may just be a guy they think can at least eat up some snaps while the other guys, you know, above him in the rotation, keep playing, obviously. So I think it makes sense that we both pick those kind of guys. But all right, let's round out today's pod with let's have a little fun here with the overall draft class. I put together some superlatives, you know, a little yearbook, high school yearbook kind of superlatives. Most likely to succeed, most likely to bust, all that kind of stuff. So let's get into it, and we'll start right there. Most likely to succeed. You know, you can take this a few different ways. You know, I just literally took it as the guy that, you know, is most likely to be a good, you know, NFL player in the draft. Who did you pick for that?
Yeah, when I think about this, you think like the yearbooks, like in high school, like when right. Like most likely to be president or something like that. So that's what I was kind of thinking. I took Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. I don't think Michael Mayer will ever be like a top five tight end in the NFL or like a real game changer, but I just know he's going to be good. Like he's not going to be, I don't think he'll ever be Kelsey or Kittle, but he's going to be, you know, I'm trying to think like kind of like Hunter Henry in his prime, like just someone that's solid, that plugs a hole for you. To me, like, I don't see any way he busts. I don't think he's a top 20 pick, but he's someone that to me, like you would pay a second contract. You have your need filled if you would draft Michael Mayer. To me, he's just like one of the safest players in this class.
Yeah, and it seems like his value is getting maybe even better and better. I don't know. It seems like he might not be, especially after his combine, you know, it wasn't super impressive, but he wasn't showing that on tape. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, don't double count it, that kind of thing. Okay, that's a good one. I went kind of with chalk here. I mean, I went Bijan Robinson. I really do think this guy's going to be good. I mean, you know, whether or not, you know, it's for a long, long time, you know, I do think he comes in and you hope he gets in the right offense, right? You know, you hope he doesn't have a Saquon start to his career where he has to wait 3 or 4 years until he has a competent offense to start playing in. But, you know, I do think he's going to be good. I also wanted to throw out Nolan Smith. I'm sorry, but like, I know he's got the size thing, but man, I just feel like this dude at the very least is going to be a starting defensive end in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's the thing is, you know, this is where the most likely to succeed thing is. You gotta take it some ways because it's probably where he's valued, right? If he was picked top five, top 10, maybe I wouldn't say that, but you know, where he's going to go, although shoot, he could go top 10 now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think with this edge rushing class, I think it's kind of up in the air a little bit still, but all right. Most likely to succeed, most likely to bust. Let's talk about those. You got a good one for that?
I'm going to stick to the guy I talked about earlier, DeJuan Jones, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. I don't know. I thought about it more. Maybe I need to watch him more. I know he moves well for a guy that size, but you watch him try and change directions. It's just not good. And you're going to go in the NFL where there's just bigger defensive ends who can win on either shoulder. I don't think he really adds a ton as a run blocker. I think he's just very, very scheme specific. And that scheme is basically like, we're just going to run the ball and never put you like on a vertical plane in any way. He's too big to be a guard. Like you can't be 380 pounds to be a guard in the NFL.
Yeah.
He has to fit a very specific scheme. And even then I'm skeptical because I don't think he's an awesome run blocker. I, I really don't. I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he adds a lot there. Add on top of that, there's potential medical issues. Who knows if he'll be able to keep good weight in the NFL. It stinks to say, I just don't think he's a guy that will succeed.
Well, hey, someone's got a bust. So, yeah, I mean, that's especially this offensive tackle class, man. I feel so good about most of these guys that one of them is going to fall off. So it makes sense that it may be him. I went with Tyree Wilson, though, the Texas Tech edge rusher.
That's a good one.
I remember the Marcus Davenport hype in the draft. And I'm not saying they're exactly the same prospect, especially because Davenport played at, you know, UTSA or UTEP, whichever one it was, UTSA. And so, you know, he kind of had the small school thing working against him on top of just being kind of this, you know, hey, big explosive dude that, you know, is obviously going to be hard to stay in front of, but, you know, you're doing much more than just, you know, really, you know, running hard at a, you know, at the corner of an offensive tackle. And I just think sometimes Tyree Wilson to me kind of reminds me of that, where I get it. I get why he's an exciting prospect because of his length, his size. He does move very well for his size. And there's some pass rush reps where I can see it, but for the most part, especially as a redshirt senior, I just feel like if you haven't put it together by now, I don't know if you're going to be any better than you were in college. And he still wasn't that. I mean, he was dominant in college. He won Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, but I just wasn't super impressed with what he was doing when it translated into the NFL. So I'm pretty confident that he's going to be a Marcus Davenport type, which, hey, Davenport just got a second contract, so maybe that's not a true bust. But in terms of going top 10, which it seems like he's going to, I don't know if he's going to live up to that. Prospect with the widest range of outcomes, though. I think this is kind of an interesting one. What do you have for this?
I chose Brian Brisset, the defensive tackle from Clemson. And it's probably just because the player, I have no really like takes on him. I don't know. It's a process that he has a lot of injuries. Obviously he had the tragedy with his sister.
Right.
I just don't know what to think of him, and he could be someone that, like, at his best, he does look like a guy who can move well and who can rush the passer, but there's also a chance that maybe it just doesn't work out. And it sucks to say, because I think he's a good dude and he's had a lot that's gone bad for him, but I just don't know if I would take him, because I just don't know what I'm getting in him, like getting in the building. And especially when you combine that with his medical history, which it really, like, it sounds like he had a bad back injury he was kind of playing through in college. If he puts it all together, he can hit what that ceiling was, which was an exciting player. But I'm really worried that the other side of it is just, he's not going to be able to stay in the NFL because of his health.
That's a good one, honestly, because as low as I am on him, because I am, I do get, you know, he was a high prospect. You do see him move very well for a guy that's, I mean, he's like a panda. I mean, like, this dude is big, thick, but also just moves very well, you know, side to side, you know, in terms of, you know, stunting on a, you know, on a pass rush, you know, looping around. I mean, he's going to be able to do that kind of stuff, and that's valuable. And so, hey, if he can put it together and be just a little more consistent in one particular position, yeah, he could be really good. But then, yeah, I could also see him not being good. So I like that one. I'm going to go with another defensive tackle, though, and this might just be too obvious, but Jalen Carter, I guess, just because, I mean, I think he's the best prospect in the class on tape, but we're seeing now that, I mean, he could just not care about football, I guess, or not care about preparing, and he may just not be a professional athlete. I mean, someone.
Right.
I just saw a report that the Raiders took him off their draft board completely, which is kind of crazy. probably shouldn't do that, Raiders. I would say that, but hey, more teams want to do it. I definitely wouldn't mind testing him out in Kansas City, because I definitely think the right place is going to get him going. But it is kind of odd, man. His offseason has been weird. I also said Quentin Johnson, though. I don't know how you feel about that.
That's a good one.
Because sometimes it's like, hey, I get that he could maybe be like Megatron, but probably not that good.
Right.
But a lot of me thinks that, you know, he played in an offense that opened it up a lot for him. He's kind of a body catcher a little bit. He's not like this high pointing, you know, he might just be a college receiver. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's actually a really good pick. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't think of that, because he could be someone that like really works well in the NFL, or he's not going to be good. He'll be like Josh Doctson, like 2.0. There's a very wide range of outcomes for him.
Don't put that on him. I don't want to put that on him.
He's better than Josh Doctson was, but right. that is a good one. I didn't even think about that.
Okay, well, most likely to fall, I actually kind of said, well, Jalen Carter again makes sense mm-hmm. too. But I put Peter Skoronski also. I do think, I know he's a really good player, but I think we could get to draft day. And with all these other offensive tackles, I just really like this offensive tackle class. So I mm-hmm. could see the NFL being like, why would I take a chance on a guy that maybe doesn't have the typical profile of an offensive tackle when I could take all these other guys that do and seem to be pretty good offensive tackles anyway? So I could see him falling. I don't know. Do you think that's crazy at all, or who do you have?
I think it would be – I'll talk about my guy in a second. I would be surprised Skoronski fell too far because I just think his floor as a guard is still really high. So I think some team would just look at him and be like, we at least will solve one of our offensive line. And then the guy I have falling really far, Cody Mock, the offensive tackle from North Dakota State. I watched his tape the other day. I don't see it. Like, North Dakota State never really had him pass set. He's right. Like, he's never really pass set it in his career. He's going to be 25 years old, like, next season. Yeah. That's rather old for a guy who needs a lot of work to be an offensive tackle. He's not ready to play in an NFL team for an offensive line. He could be a guard. I know people have him ranked there. I think that would be a good fit for him. Potentially as like a good run blocker. He is a good athlete. I will say that, like, if you compare him to like Blake Freeland, I do think he's a much better athlete, like when you watch him on tape. But if you're asking Cody Mock to be an offensive tackle, no way. Like, I don't think there's any chance. And I think NFL teams will see that too, because he's never done it. He's never passed that before. And so I think there's a really real chance we're like on like day three, like, how did Cody Mock fall this far? Like, considering that he was a guy that was at the end of round one at one point, but the dude's offensive tackle tape is just not translatable to the NFL.
No, it's a really good point on the falling part, because yeah, you're right. I think even if he's not, because I don't think right now maybe he's getting the round one hype like he used to, but I still think people consider him like 30s, 40s kind of pick. Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him falling. Although, you know, the NFL loves their projects out of the FCS, man, at offensive tackle. I mean, they do it all the time. But I'm with you. The pass setting is definitely something to worry about. I liked everything, pretty much everything else about his game in terms of like run blocking, in terms mm-hmm. of getting to the second level, in terms of just his tenacity. He's kind of a nasty player. He'll finish. Right. And it's because he used to play tight end, and you can see mm-hmm. that. But yeah, I mean, tight ends don't pass that. He was never used to pass it. And so he plays at North Dakota State, where they don't. I mean, they're under center. They're running I formation. They're running double I formation. The Maryland I. I mean, my God. So, yeah, I think that's a really good one. And that's why I had him as a bad fit for the Chiefs earlier. So good thing we hit on him. This is kind of this one I kind of thought through. Most likely to break out immediately, but not sustain through their second contract. So maybe, you know, running backs typically fit this mold, right? Right. So there's probably a running back. But you know, do you have any other? Who do you have?
Jalin Hyatt, the wide receiver of Tennessee. And I want to really take it back to Mecole Hardman when Mecole Hardman was drafted. If you remember him in 2019, Mecole Hardman had like a really good first like month, 6 weeks with the Chiefs. And you were looking at his stats, and this is from verbatim, but like he had like 20 catches for like 400 yards and like two touchdowns. You're like, holy cow, if Mecole Hardman really expands his game, like what could he be in the NFL? And then nothing happened. Like after those like first 4 weeks, Mecole was essentially the same player. And what really happened to Mecole was like teams really like put on their scouting report, we just can't let him run free in open space because he's dynamic. So once teams got a feel for how to stop that, Mecole was basically just a jet sweep guy for 3.5 years. I know he tweeted that he didn't like that, but it's kind of the reality.
It is.
I think Jalin Hyatt's a better prospect, but I see a very similar career path where like the first 8 weeks of his career, he's going to have like 25 catches for like 490 yards and like four touchdowns. And people are like, holy cow, like what could this guy become if he expands everything else? But his college offense is just not an NFL offense. They basically put him like in a stack. So college, you know, hashes are wide. They put him all the way to the sideline and put him like 3 yards off the ball and just get him like a running start into like 30 yards of space. That is not happening in the NFL. Like no NFL offense is constructed to do that. The field is compressed. Defenses are better. He doesn't do anything besides run into space. What do you do? Like this is what I'm going to write about this Arrowhead Pride at one point, but like the only two guys who were like primary vertical threats who really like succeeded were DeSean Jackson and Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill is an all-time anomaly because he had everything else.
Yeah.
But DeSean Jackson, look at everybody else. Corey Coleman. I can't think of guys off the top of my head. Like, those guys that come from that offense, they just don't translate to the NFL because they're one-trick ponies. And if your only thing is you can run vertically and teams suddenly take that away, what are you doing? And that's my thing with Jalen Hyatt. When I see him, people take him at 31. I just think that's insane.
Yeah, no, hey, he ran a deep post, a wheel, and a straight.
It.
That was pretty much it. You're right. No, that's definitely someone that is a really good pick for that, honestly, because if he does get in the right offense, I mean, yeah, he's probably going to produce. I mean, he has the speed to get vertically again. You mentioned it with the McColl thing, like defenses aren't just going to naturally respect you like you're the best deep threat in the league as a rookie. Even if you do have that speed, they're going to make you prove it. And he has the speed to prove it, you know, have 270-yard touchdowns in the first 4 weeks of the season. And then, yeah, I think that's a really good one. Jahmyr Gibbs was too easy for me. But I just feel like, hey, you know, he's going to be a guy that's explosive right away. But, you know, by the second contract, are we sure? I also put Bryce Young. Alabama quarterback.
One. Yeah.
If he gets to the right place, which, you know, it sounds like Houston, which maybe that isn't the right place, but I think he could be a winner right away. I think he could compete right away, but I could see it coming down to that Lamar Jackson kind of thing, which, you know, Lamar Jackson has sustained it through his second contract. So it's a little different, but in terms of the team not wanting to pay him, not wanting to treat him like a franchise quarterback because of his size. And, you know, maybe he's going to, you know, maybe he breaks down by then, maybe he has a few injuries to kind of, you know, hurt that. But yeah, I think he could, though, in his first or second year. Yeah. Be a guy that people are saying, yeah, you can win with him. You just got to get the right pieces around him. So yeah, that's someone I had most likely for a late breakout. So the opposite, where maybe he comes in right away. You don't hear about him for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, wow, I remember him. He's a great player now.
I went kind of, you know, off the cuff of this. Tyler Steen, the offensive lineman from Alabama.
That's your guy.
It's a weird profile. He has the third shortest wingspan of any, like, offensive tackle ever, I believe, I had. But his film's good. And I do think length will overpower him a little bit. That was noticeable in college. He's kind of that squatty type, but good run blocker, really smart player, comfortable on, like, a vertical island. If he doesn't succeed at offensive tackle, I think he'll be one of the better guards in the NFL. I really do. I think he has all the traits to be a really good guard. I think that's someone that, like, when, like, 3-4 years, you know, people talk about, like, really good values. I think Tyler Steen will be one of those guys that's, like, a really good value that some team's paying, you know, $12 to $14 million a year, and will just be kind of a good, like, linchpin of an offensive line. I think he's gotten really underrated. He shot up my board recently. I think I have him now at, like, around, like, a second to third round grade. I think he's a good player, and I really think he can succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, no, honestly, when you first brought him to the AP film room, I think we all kind of assumed he was just like a day three guy because of some of that stuff. But you're right. I mean, I think he's on the top 100 of this consensus. I mean, he's at 97. So yeah, that tells you that, you know, I do think people are coming around on that, because I think he moves very well. I mean, you said it all. I am a fan of his. I had Lucas Van Ness for this, just because, you know, obviously I think there's very obvious reasons, but this was kind of I had a different one too. Paris Johnson Jr. I wasn't a big fan of his watching his tape, but I have come around on him more and more as I've kind of come on. And that's why I like this offensive tackle class so much, is, you know, he's a guy that I'm, you know, I like guys more than him. And he's still a guy that should be picked highly, you know, the 36-inch arms, the movement skills. I do, though, think he does need some refinement, and I could see him being maybe disappointing right at first. If he has to start right away, obviously if he's a top 10, top 15 pick, he will. But I could see him by his second contract, by the time he's becoming a free agent, all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, okay, this is a guy that, you know, it makes sense why he's top 10, top 15 pick, and kind of earns that big money deal. But maybe right away people kind of say, oh, you know, and offensive tackles in general, I will say, kind of take a while to get going sometimes. You know, Andrew Thomas comes to mind. So that's that. And then let's end this one, because I think it's a good capper on this entire draft talk. Position most likely to be looked back on, like, in terms of, like, hey, this is like a historic class. You know, we talk about the, was it 2014 receiver class with Odell, Mike Evans, you know, all those guys. What position do you think most likely could have, like, a really, like, a all-pro, Pro Bowl kind of group of players?
I think it's corner. I was texting you guys this yesterday. I've watched nine corners so far, and I think they all could start in the NFL. And that's I'm a very critical cornerback grader, and that's something that I feel really confident saying. I like the guys at the top, even guys like Deontay Banks. I think Deontay Banks is a stud. I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. Even the guys like Joey Porter Jr. and Kelee Ringo, I really like them. I just think they have to find the right scheme in the NFL, but I think they'll be valuable. It's a deep class. I still have a lot of work to do with it, but I think it's going to be a really, really deep, good cornerback class that you can find options kind of on all 3 days. I think we'll look back at it like 4 or 5 years now. Like, that was a really like valuable cornerback class at a very premium position.
No, and I think there's evidence to that too, which is how like the mocks change so much. I feel like you see a new first round corner like every mock, and I think it's just because there's so many good ones. I think all these mock drafts are trying to, you know, fit these guys in that they like. Just like you're saying, hey, I like nine of these corners. You know, I want to fit them into these first round mocks and get their name out there. I think that's kind of why maybe that there's just so many of them. So I will tell you, this might be a hot take. Well, maybe not, but I kind of said quarterbacks too, depending on where they fall. I just said Bryce Young might break down by his second contract, but man, I'm really high on Anthony Richardson. I think he's QB1 in this class. Same. I think CJ Stroud is definitely like a Kirk Cousins type of like, I wanted to say floor. I think that's pretty high to say he's a Kirk Cousins floor, but right. Just someone that, you know, if he's on the right offense, they're going to put up numbers and he's probably going to play, you know, he's probably going to function or run a really, you know, a high powered offense, put up some stats.
He runs into so much attack.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, I heard that comp early in the process and I almost like fought against it so hard because it was like I didn't want to, but it's true. It is really true. And honestly, he's probably a better thrower than Dak.
I agree.
And then Will Levis, honestly, I think if he falls, it sounds like he's kind of maybe going to depend, you know, potentially, you know, this is a guy that I think maybe the NFL is overthinking a little bit with that, because he did play in an NFL offense in college. Played literally in an offense coached by a guy that's coaching with the Rams now, you know, a Liam Cohen, I think it was his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a very good, arm talent, right? It's just some of the inconsistencies of his game, but get him in the right place. I mean, shoot, he could be, again, you know, a Ryan Tannehill. I know that's a pretty easy comp for him because he can move, because that's the thing. He can move, and that gives you a little bit of a floor as a quarterback. If you can run, people have called him Taysom Hill that can throw. I mean, you know, there's something to that. So, yeah, I think all four quarterbacks have a chance. And then Hendon Hooker. I mean, honestly, like, I know he played in that. Oh, no. No, I know. I knew as soon as I the Tennessee offense. I knew we talked about all pod. But, no, I think if he gets in the right place, he could be a functional starter maybe. Maybe not someone you look back on like, oh, wow, great quarterback class, but. You know, I do think he
would have been QB1 last year.
Right. And exactly. I mean, I think all these guys probably would have been.
Oh, for sure.
Right. And that's, you know, that's the thing is the NFL is kind of, we're seeing mocks with, you know, someone, was it Mike Tannenbaum had him like Hendon Hooker going like five. I mean,
yeah,
just, we're not.
I'm fine with it. More quarterbacks to go, more good players fall.
Seriously. I do think there's a case Hooker to be there's a case to be made Hooker will be picked before the Chiefs take him or the Chiefs pick in the first round. So that would help them out a lot. Well, shoot. What a fun show. I had a great time talking to all these prospects. I hope everyone had a good time as well. Kind of learned a little bit about, you know, who the Chiefs could be picking and who they may be targeting. Appreciate you listening. Nate, I know you got plenty of stuff coming up on the site. You want to plug anything you got in the works or anything that's already on the site? I know you mentioned the Trey Palmer article.
Yeah, no, a lot of draft profiles. Yes. Those are coming out these next few weeks. Check out everybody's, not just mine. We have a big list of guys that are going to come. I don't know how many exactly we'll get to, but we'll have a lot. So, you know, the goal is that you have one for basically probably all like the top 100 guys in case the Chiefs draft any of them. And I think we'll get there. We have a really good list going. We already have a lot of them published. So keep an eye on those because I feel confident saying the Chiefs will take at least one or two of the guys. But who knows? They probably won't. We'll have to like scramble because none of us watched them or something. But I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, no, McDuffie kind of snuck up on us last year, I will say. Yeah. That was one guy we kind of thought would not be there. So hoping we cover all bases this year. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you checking out the site. Make sure you keep doing so. We have plenty of great content coming up for you. And just keep listening to the podcast network. Appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you next time.